The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله السلام عليكم wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to our program, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And I hope, inshallah, you're going to be with me until that time. Enjoy the program whilst we're going to be learning a lot of beautiful things, inshallah. A very beautiful topic, one of my favorite stories. It's a story from the Quran, but inshallah, many, many things that we will learn from this story, inshallah. And then we've got our own other packages as well, inshallah. We're going to have two different clips during the program. An amazing topic, inshallah. You know what? I'm going to tell you what the topic is. The topic is going to be regarding the cave sleepers, the Ashabi Kahf. What a beautiful story in the Quran. And this story is mentioned in the Quran. It's a unique story. And this story, so many lessons that we can learn from this, and hopefully, inshallah, as we progress during the program, inshallah, we'll learn a lot of things as well. And you know, also during the story of the cave sleepers, the word wal yatalattaf comes in there as well, and that is exact middle of the Quran. So, inshallah, the kalam is ready. Let's first of all go towards the kalam and we'll come back and we'll go through the story as well, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa, Mustafa, aur unki aal, panjtan, panjtan hai ba kamal. Mustafa, Mustafa, aur unki aal, panjtan hai ba kamal.
Mujh pe kitna niyazi karam ho gaya, duniya kehne lagi panjtan ka gada. Is gharane ka jab se main naukar hua, sabse achhi meri naukri ho gayi.
Hai ba kamal. मैं तो पंजतन का गुलाम हूँ मैं तो पंजतन का गुलाम हूँ
मैं गुलाम इब्ने गुलाम हूँ मैं फकीर खैरुल अनाम हूँ مجھے عشق ہے تو رسول سے یہ کرم ہے سارا بطول کا میرے منہ سے آئے مہک صدا جو میں نام لوں تیرا جھوم کے
پنجتن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں مصطفیٰ پر ان کی آل پنجتن ہے با کمال میں تو پنجتن کا غلام
سمن سے ہے مجھے عشق سارے چمن سے ہے, مجھے عشق ان کے وطن سے ہے, مجھے عشق ان کی گلی سے ہے, مجھے عشق ہے تو علی سے ہے, مجھے عشق ہے تو حسن سے ہے, مجھے عشق ہے تو حسین سے, مجھے عشق شاہ زمن سے ہے.
میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں, میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں, مصطفیٰ پر ان کی آگ پنجتن ہے باگواں. میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں, میں تو پنجتن کا غلام
ہوا. کیسے تن سے وہ سر جدا, جہاں عشق ہے وہیں کربلا, میری بات انہی کی بات ہے, میرے سامنے وہی ذات ہے, وہی جن کو شیر خدا کہیں, جنہیں باب صلی علی کہیں, وہی جن کو ذات علی کہیں, وہی پوختہ ہے میں تو خام ہوں.
میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں, میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں, مصطفیٰ پر ان کی آگ پنجتن ہے باگواں. میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں, میں تو پنجتن کا غلام.
میں قمر ہوں شاعر بے نوا, میری ہے حیثیت ہی بھلا ہے کیا, وہ ہے بادشاہوں کے بادشاہ, میں ہوں ان کے در کا بس ایک گدا, میرا پنجتن سے ہے واسطہ, میرا نسبتوں کا ہے سلسلہ, میں فقیر خیر الانام ہوں.
میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں, میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں.
کیا بات رضا,
اس چمنستان کرم کی, زہرا ہے کلی جس میں حسین اور حسن پھول.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. ماشاء اللہ عزوجل, I was a bit of in a day dream mode, but ماشاء اللہ عزوجل, we are الحمدللہ عزوجل. Well, you are watching our beautiful program yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, a very beautiful topic, and it's a unique topic because the Quran calls it a unique topic as well. And it's a beautiful sign, inshallah Azza wa Jal. And this story is the story of the cave sleepers, the Ashabi Kahf. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned inside the Holy Quran in para number 15, Suratul Kahf, verse number 9 and 10. أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Did you know that the people of the cave and people near to the forest were our wonderful signs? Min ayatina ajaba, were wonderful signs. When the young men took refuge in the cave, then said, our Lord, grant us mercy from yourself and grant us guidance in our situation. Subhanallah. This beautiful story has been mentioned in the Quran as a wonderful sign. So the Ashabi Kahf are the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanallah. So the ulama, they say that if Ashabi Kahf can be the signs of Allah, if Safa and Marwa, inna Safa wal Marwa ta min sha'airillah, if Safa and Marwa can be the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, then why them places cannot be the signs where our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam put his blessed feet? And elaborating on the word raqim, in this blessed ayah, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma has stated, Raqim is the name of the valley in which Ashabi Kahf are resting. So the valley in Ashabi Kahf, now in today's day and age, they are resting in a place, in a country called Jordan, which is just near Palestine. And Jordan is where the Ashabi Kahf's mazar. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I've had the opportunity to visit the mazarat a couple of times, inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all the ability to visit the mazarat of the Ashabi Kahf. And seriously, when you go there and you sit there, it just reminds you of, subhanallah, of them days when the Ashabi Kahf was, subhanallah Azza wa Jal, when they went away to safeguard their iman. And this hijrat, this moving from one place to the other, was only for the pleasure and for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. What we're going to do is read out the story to you, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, you'll be amazed as well. So listen very, very carefully to this beautiful story. Page number 541 of the beautiful book Siratul Jinan, Volume 5, The Faith Refreshing Parable of the Ashabi Kahf, has been mentioned in these words. The Ashabi Kahf were the honest people amongst the noble and respectable people of the city of Ufsus. In their era, there was a very cruel king, namely Daqyanus. So Daqyanus was the king where the Ashabi Kahf lived in that city. He forced the people to worship the creation rather than the creator, Allah Azza wa Jal, and would kill anyone who did not agree to it. So basically, he was an idol worshipper. So he was asking people to worship the idols. And he says that whoever did not accept his deen, Daqyanus, he would, ma'azallah, have them killed as well. Ashabi Kahf escaped the king's oppression in order to protect their faith and took refuge in a cave in a nearby mountain. So the main reason why the Ashabi Kahf went from their homes was to protect their iman. Subhanallah. Can you imagine, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, how lucky these people were that, subhanallah, even at that time of fitna, rather than giving up to the oppression of the king, the Ashabi Kahf, alhamdulillah, were ready to give up all the luxuries that they have to safeguard their iman. They fell asleep over there and they remained asleep, you know, for how many years? 1 year? No. 10 years? No. 100 years? No. 300 years? Approximately, in the Siratul Jinan, he says, more than 300 years, these Ashabi Kahf, they went to sleep in the cave. When the king searched and came to know that they were inside the cave, he ordered to seal the cave with a strong wall so that they would die due to hunger and thirst in it, and the cave would become their grave. It was their punishment. For example, the king, he saw that if these guys are sleeping, rather than waking them up and arresting them, what he did was he built a wall outside the cave mouth so that these people, ma'azallah, they will die inside. But subhanallah, Allah is the most greatest. Alhamdulillah. After some time, the king Daqyanus died, and kingship kept changing until a very kind-hearted and a just person named Bedrus became the king. So the king Dakyanus passed away. Many other kings came after him. They died. Many other came. They died. Until the king Bedrus, he came. And he was a Muslim. He was a God-fearing person. The king confined himself to a home alone and implored earnestly in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then, why? Because there was a fitna that erupted in his time. And that fitna was that people denied believing in the resurrection and the day of judgment. So this king, he made du'as and pleaded in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when he made a dua, oh Allah, reveal such a sign that people start believing in the resurrection and in the day of judgment. In the same era, a shepherd selected the same cave to provide his goats with shelter. With the help of a few people, he then demolished the wall. As the wall fell, the people who demolished the wall recoiled in utter horror and ran away. By the command of Allah, Ashabi Kaf happily woke up from their sleep. They were fresh, happy and lively, exchanged salam and then stood for salah. Subhanallah. So 300 years later, and I always, when I read this story, is subhanallah, how 300 years ago Allah Azza wa Jal planned this, that Allah knew that 300 years later some people will deny the resurrection and the day of judgment. So 300 years these people were sleeping in that cave, and Allah Azza wa Jal made them wake up. So here, subhanallah, Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal saved Ashabi Kahf. The person who migrates for the protection of his religion and faith, Allah protects him as well, because their main purpose was to migrate for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the pleasure of Allah. And hence, these people, alhamdulillah, they came to the cave as well. What happened next, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we'll tell you after our first break, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. Pray in the way that you see me pray. What do we learn from this? Exactly how the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed is how we should pray. Unfortunately, people don't learn. People go to madrasa when they're young, they finish the Quran, recitation of the Quran once or twice, and they think that's it, I've achieved everything. And many a times it's the mistake of the institution itself where they've studied. They haven't taught them how to perform salah properly. What are the faraid of namaz? What are the wajibat? What are the sunan? What are the preconditions of salah? Wudu, ghusl, these matters which are from farz ulum. We don't learn them. And we end up making mistakes. Imagine somebody spent 50 years performing salah. Then he studied the theory and he realized that in the last 50 years, I was missing out a key component of the prayer. My prayer was becoming invalid every single time. Imagine how regretful he would be. And that's in the dunya. And imagine in the akhirah, if you asked about it. You gave all the time in the world to study so-and-so subject, to try and progress in such and such a field. You didn't look at day, you didn't look at night. When it came to the deen, you were neglectful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Muslims tawfiq to invest in learning the deen, to best act upon it.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, Hafiz Kareem was mentioning, beautiful, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal. May Allah bless him and reward him. He says that once, while passing by the cave of the Ashabi Kahf on the journey of the Battle of Rome, Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu desired to enter the cave. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma forbade him and recited this blessed verse, لَوِدْ طَلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارٌ وَلَا مُلِيْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. Translation from Kunzul Iman, O listener, were you to look at them closely, you would turn back running away from them and be filled with their dread. Subhanallah, nowadays the Ashabi Kahf, where their mazarat are, there's a very beautiful masjid that's been constructed, and their mazarat are near that beautiful masjid as well. And subhanAllah, these Ashabi Kahf, so what was the first thing that these Ashabi Kahf did? The first thing is when they came out of their sleep, they offered their salah. And today, Saghfirullah, sadly we see how many Muslims offer their salah and how many of them will be away from the salah itself as well. The beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says, spread salam, you will attain peace and safety. regarding Salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I have made 5 Salah mandatory for your Ummah, and about them I have promised to myself that the person who will offer them regularly at their appointed time, I will make him enter paradise, and the person who will not offer them regularly, I have no promise for him. Allahu Akbar. Hadith-e-Pak quoted in Abu Dawood Sharif. And so therefore, Alhamdulillah, with these 2 beautiful things we learn from this, that the Ashab-e-Kahf, mashallah, were worshippers. They worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, and this is why Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned their story inside the glorious Quran. And this is some of the beautiful lessons. And the other is that when they woke up from their sleep, they gave salam to the people as well. So salam is also a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And that's why there's a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salamu qabla al-kalam. Salam before talking. So before we say anything to someone, when you go home, before talking to someone, even on the phone, when your phone rings and normally people say hello, hello doesn't mean anything. So when you pick up the phone, always say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now what happened in the later part of the story? So the Ashab-e-Kahf was sleeping, they woke up, and then what happened? One of the Ashab-e-Kahf called Yamlekha. He was told by the Ashab-e-Kahf to go to the market and bring some food. Also find out secretly where King Dakiyanus intends to do with us. So now they didn't realize that they've been sleeping in the cave for 300 years. So they send Yamlekha to the market to go and see what the king, you know, what news they can get about the king. So Yamlekha went to the market. While entering the city, he was astonished to see the signs of Islam and different types of people over there. He couldn't understand the matter. Till yesterday, no one could openly state about his Islamic faith, whereas today, Islamic signs are clearly visible. After some time, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to a bakery to purchase food and gave the baker a coin used in the time of Dakiyanus. And this coin had been replaced centuries ago, yani 300 years have been passed by, that coin had been replaced. And the shopkeeper assumed that perhaps these people have discovered some old treasure. So therefore the shopkeepers handed him over to the ruler. The ruler was a pious person. He asked him where the treasure is. Yamlekha said, there is no treasure. This is our money. The king said, what are you saying is totally unbelievable because it's more than 300 years ago. And you are still young. We are old, but we didn't see this coin ever. Yamlekha, he said, if you answer my question truly, the matter will be resolved. Tell me, how is the king Dakiyanus? The ruler replied, today there isn't any king with this name. And he says, Yamlekha, he says that it was yesterday when due to his fear, we fled to protect our lives. My companions are in the cave that is the nearby mountains. You people come with us, I will make you meet them. Therefore, the ruler and the chiefs of the city reached near the cave in large numbers. The companions in the cave were waiting for Yamlekha. Seeing the delay in his return, they presumed that Yamlekha might have been arrested. When they heard the noise of people coming at the entrance of the cave, they thought that perhaps the army of Dakiyanus had arrived to arrest them. Therefore, those people became occupied with the hamd of Allah Azza wa Jal. So in the meantime, the people of the city reached Yamlekha, relayed the whole story to the remaining personages of the grave. These people understood that they had been sleeping for more than 300 years and that they had been awakened so that they could become the true evidence and signs of resurrection for the people. When the ruler reached the corner of the cave, he saw a copper box. The box was open and a wooden board was found containing the names of the Ashab-e-Kahf and their dog. Subhanallah. So now what's happened is the Ashab-e-Kahf, people have found out about them. And the Ashab-e-Kahf, you know, one of the beautiful things that we mentioned here is that when the Ashab-e-Kahf found out that we're going to get caught, everyone's found out, what did they do? They engaged themselves in the zikr of Allah. Now the scholars, they mention whenever you fall into a problem, whenever you fall into a calamity, what we should do as Muslims is we should do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mention the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal. Read the Holy Quran, read the Tasbih, do the Tahleel of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. Alama Abdul Mustafa Azmi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he stated that when there arose the conflict of opinion amongst the people regarding the number of Ashabi Kahf, the following blessed verse was revealed. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, قُلْ رَبِّ أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Proclaim, my Lord will know their number, no one knows them except a few. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says, I am amongst those few people who know the number of the Ashabi Kahf. The number of Ashabi Kahf is 7. And mashallah azza wa jal, the Ashabi Kahf are those blessed people that left their place and they left their homeland for the fear of losing their iman. And subhanallah, what a beautiful story that not only did they keep run away to save their iman, but they became one of the greatest signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is narrated that if these names are pasted to a door of a house, after writing them on a piece of paper, the house will remain safe from being burnt. If the piece of paper having these names is kept on the capital wealth, it will not be stolen. Boats and ships will not sink by their blessings. The person who has fled will come back by the blessings of these names. If a fire breaks out, write these names on a piece of cloth and put it on the fire. By the grace of Allah Almighty, the fire will be extinguished. These names are beneficial for the children who cry or for the fever that comes after every third day, for headaches, for sibyan, an illness which even a person suffers from, specific kind of mental fits, for traveling on land or sea, for the safety of life and wealth, for sharpening intellect, and for the freedom of prisoners. So, subhanallah. Not only these people became the one of the greatest signs of Allah, but these people, their beautiful names have become the source of shifa from Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. You know, just imagine, you know, if you mention these names, there are many other books, mashallah, that are written on the beautiful names of the Ashabi Kahf, about some of the blessings, alhamdulillah. In addition to these names, the wooden board which was taken out from the box of Ashabi Kahf also contained this information, that this group of people took refuge in the cave for protecting their religion. It says that soldiers were building the wall outside. This shepherd, he wrote the names of these people and he put it inside the cave, and one, he put it inside the wall as well. When Dakyanus was informed about this, he ordered to erect a wall outside the cave so that they could be confined to the cave. We have mentioned this fact so that whenever the cave is open, people become aware of their state. Having read the board, everyone was astonished and started praising Allah, as Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed the sign that makes a person hold the belief of the resurrection. The ruler of the city informed the king, Badrus, about this incident. Along with the chiefs and the honorable people of the city, the king also went to the cave and fell into sajda for thanking Allah, as he had answered his dua. Ashabi Kahf embraced the king and said, we entrust you with Allah. Wassalamu alayka wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah protect you and your country, and protect you and your country from the evil of evil jinns and humans. So, subhanallah. The king was still standing when those people went back to the place where they had been sleeping. They again fell asleep and Allah made them die. The king preserved their bodies in a wooden box of a tree. Allah infused such a dignity into the hearts of the people about the Ashabi Kahf that no one has the courage to go at that place. Afterwards, the king Badrus ordered to construct a masjid at the entrance of the cave. He fixed an annual celebration day and asked the people to visit it on that day like a day of Eid. So, subhanallah, the Ashabi Kahf, beautiful story. You know, these are the kind of stories that we should be telling our children, we should be telling our friends, alhamdulillah. And, you know, it's a unique story. So, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, the story of Ashabi Kahf, there are so many aqaid lessons in there as well, so many lessons of belief. So as Muslims, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, and as Sunnis, what we believe, alhamdulillah, what we believe in this whole story of the Ashabi Kahf, our aqeedah is, mashallah, Azza wa Jal, so apparent. In the tafsir of the Quran, Siratul Jinan, it is stated saintly miracle can occur by a pious saint even while he is asleep, and in the same way after death as well. The fact that the earth does not eat away their bodies is also the saintly miracles of pious saints. It is not necessary that a saint reveals a saintly miracle by his power and he also have it in his knowledge, but rather sometimes saintly miracles occurs without the power of a pious saint and without his knowledge as well, as it happened in the incident of the Ashabi Kahf. So these Ashabi Kahf, they never knew that such a great miracle will occur, so that they will fall asleep for him. They never knew that. But subhanAllah, this miracle occurred, and subhanAllah, an answer to those people at that time who did not believe in life after death and the day of judgment. Even now, sadly, people, you know, they believe that, yeah, you're only here for a while. Once you're here, you know, you're dead, you're going to be end, you're going to disintegrate, you're going to finish, and that's it. No, as Muslims, we believe in the life after death, because wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala wal ba'thi ba'd al maut. We believe in the life after death. We believe that we were sent to this world for a reason. Even that reason has been mentioned, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That reason has been mentioned in the Quran, that we were created for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, as Muslims, as humans, we should engage ourselves in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. The ulama, they mentioned the construction of a masjid near the holy shrines of pious saints and celebration of their urs every year are not prohibited at all, but rather these acts are the traditions of the pious people. So just like Bedrus, when he constructed a masjid and then every year he ordered the Muslims to come and celebrate the lives of these Ashabi Kahf and the event that took place, in the same way, this is what we do when we go to the mazarat of the awliya Allah. Every year there are urus that take place. Every year we remember the saints and alhamdulillah their miracles and their teachings and their sayings. Now, that is to say that if people are there, ma'azallah, who do bad things, it doesn't mean that you are rid of all of the tradition because bad is happening. Now, if someone goes to someone's house and he performs a sajda outside the house, what are you going to do? Destroy the house. You're not going to destroy the house. You're going to tell that person. So if bad things are happening at mazarats where people are doing sajda, where people have music, ma'azallah, drugs, alcohol, all these things that are happening, you cleanse the sins. You don't close the buildings, or you don't demolish these buildings, because these are places of barakah. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam himself, he would visit the blessed graves of the martyrs of the Battle of Uhud in the beginning of every year and would make dua for them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would go to the martyrs of Uhud and he would make dua for them as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to Jannatul Baqi. So even to go to a graveyard or the mazar of a saint, alhamdulillah, these are barakat. Sirajul Hind, Sayyidina Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullah alayhi has said, to celebrate the urs of a pious saint is proven by this blessed hadith. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah alayhi states, to build a masjid beside the shrines of the pious saints and to offer salah over there for attaining blessings have been proved by the Holy Quran and many blessed ahadith. It is stated in Surah Al-Kahf, لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. We promise we build a masjid over them. Subhanallah. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, whenever you get the opportunity to go to the mazars of the awliya ikram, alhamdulillah, we went to Najaf, we went to Kufa, we went to many other beautiful places as well. Subhanallah, you know, mazarat of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi alayhi, you know, the mazarat of Sayyidina Imam Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Musa Kazim rahmatullahi alayhi, Bishr Hafi, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, Sayyidina Siri Sakti, Bahlul Dana, many other mazars of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Amirul Mumineen Aliul Murtaza karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, Muslim bin Akil. There were so many beautiful places that we visit. And seriously, the brothers that were with me, mashallah, you know, we all, alhamdulillah, whenever we visited the mazarat, you know, the sense of sukoon that you get from the mazarat is unbelievable. We've got another break, inshallah. Let's go towards the break and we'll come back, inshallah. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It has been stated, al-lisanu miftahul khayri wa sharri, that the key to goodness and evil is the tongue. What does this mean? The key to goodness and evil is the tongue. Meaning, if we use our tongue for good, this will bring about good. But if we use our tongue for non-Sharia compliant actions, such as slandering another individual, we are backbiting by using our tongue. We are hurting the feelings of another individual. We are using foul language. We are swearing, etc. Then this is bad use of our tongue. And this will only bring about evil effects. Think about it. That the key to goodness and evil is the tongue. Yes, it is a single key for two doors. We can choose which way to enter. We can either use our tongue for good or we can use our tongue for evil. And we obviously know which one of them will lead to a good outcome within the hereafter. And that is, of course, using our tongue only for good. So, dear viewers, use your tongue very wisely. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. These are the beautiful reminders that you see on Madani channel, constantly trying to remind us, just like the brother, mashallah, reminded us how as Muslims we need to take care of our tongue and how we should make sure that whatever we say, remember, is going to be held accountable on the day of judgment. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Holy Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, it is here that Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam prayed to his Lord. Standing beside Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam make dua for his son. It is deduced that repentance is accepted and duas are answered a lot in the closeness to these pious saints. So subhanallah, one of the best thing and the beautiful thing is that when you go to the mazarat of these awliya-i-kiram, the anbiya-i-kiram, then one of the beautiful things that we see is that your duas are accepted. Sayyidina Hassan bin Ibrahim Halal Hanbali rahmatullah alayhi said, I said, whenever I face any problem, I visit the luminous shrine of Sayyidina Imam Musa bin Ja'far and present his wasila. Allah Azza wa Jal solves my problem and fulfills my desires. The great leader of the Shafi'i school of thought, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Idris Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi has stated, whenever I am in need of something, I offer 2 rak'ah. Salah, pay a visit to the luminous shrine of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, and make dua there. By virtue of this, Allah Azza wa Jal instantly fulfills my need. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, one of the greatest imams, he goes to the mazar of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, which is in Baghdad, and subhanallah, makes dua and Allah Azza wa Jal removes his problems. Sayyidina Yahya bin Sulaiman rahmatullah alayhi has said, I needed something and I was very poor. I visited the luminous grave of Sayyidina Maruf Karkhi rahmatullah alayhi, recited Surat Ikhlas thrice and presented the sawab of recitation to him and to the souls of all the Muslims. Then I mentioned my need. He further said, I returned in the state that my need had been fulfilled. Alhamdulillah, we were also present at the mazar of Sayyidina Maruf Karkhi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Such a beautiful place, mashallah. Where his mazar-e-paak is, then you go down the stairs. Sayyidina Ghoth-e-paak rahmatullahi alayhi used to meditate. And subhanallah, it's a beautiful, mashallah, place. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Muhammad Zuhri, yani Imam Zuhri rahmatullahi alayhi, has stated, it is proved that by the virtue of the visit of the shrine of Sayyidina Maruf Karkhi rahmatullahi alayhi, wishes are fulfilled, and anyone who recites Suratul Ikhlas 100 times near his shrine and then asks for something from Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill his need. Now remember, whenever we go to the mazarat, alhamdulillah, we all believe Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that gives us and blesses us and accepts our du'as. You know, it's the wasila. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wabtahu ilayhi alwasila. So the word wasila has been mentioned in the Quran, that, you know, we fear Allah Azza wa Jalla when we look for a wasila, a medium towards him. You know, so alhamdulillah, whenever we get the opportunity, go to the mazarat of the awliya Allah, make dua in the court of Allah with the wasila of these people. Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless you as well. In order to know further blessings about the glory and greatness of the pious saints and visits of their shrine, beautiful book, Faizane Mazarat Auliya. Inshallah, if you read that book, you will find so many proofs of visiting the Mazarat of the Auliya Allah and some of the blessings and benefits that you, alhamdulillah, have. Upon the request of his companions, the Prophet Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salatu wasalam made a humble request to Allah to descend a khwan from the sky and then declare it to be the day of Eid for him and his nation. It's mentioned in the ayah number 114, Suratul Ma'idah. Isa, son of Maryam, said, O Allah, O our Lord, send down to us a food spread full of food from heaven so that it may become a day of celebration, Eid, for us, for our former and latter people, and a sign from you, and give us sustenance, and you are the best provider of sustenance. So subhanallah, Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal to make that the day of Eid when food will descend from the heavens. Subhanallah. Shaykh al-Hadith, Allama Abdul Mustafa Azmi rahmatullah alayhi has said, from the dua of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, it has been learned that it is the sacred sunnah of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam to celebrate the day and to celebrate Eid by expressing joy on the day when a special sign of divine power appears. On the occasion of Urs, if non-Shari acts are performed anywhere, these acts should be eradicated, but not the Urs itself should be stopped. So subhanallah azza wa jal, whenever we have the opportunity to attend the Urus, the Urs of the Awliya Allah, mashallah, especially Sayyiduna Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullah alayhi, when the big Garmi Sharif happens, but subhanallah, so much blessings and benefit inshallah azza wa jal regarding that as well. Sayyiduna Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to wake up people for Salatul Fajr on the way to Masjid for persuasion. Let's listen to a faith refreshing Madani parable. Brother from Dawat-e-Islami, he states that before I associated myself with Dawat-e-Islami, I was a great sinner. I would work with the whole day but would waste my hard-earned money in drinking. Astaghfirullah. I would enjoy different evils, call people names, and even upset my parents and neighbors. He was also a compulsive gambler and would not offer any salah. I was heedlessly wasting the precious moments of my life. So subhanallah, what happened? One of the Madani kafilas of Dawat-e-Islami came, invited him to the masjid. And there are so many similar stories regarding brothers who, mashallah, have done tawbah and came into the mahol of Dawat-e-Islami. And subhanallah, it was, you know, the effort of one or a few people that led to the change to the lives of people. Subhanallah. Now, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, just imagine, as Muslims, if we, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, we invite people towards goodness, towards the righteous path, look at the blessings that we will receive as well. So as Muslims, inshallah, azza wa jal, we should try to do as many good things as possible. And subhanallah, make dua in the court of Allah azza wa jal, that Allah azza wa jal blesses us, and may Allah azza wa jal forgive our sins as well. You know, the dog of the Ashabi Kahf, his name was Qitmir. There's a very beautiful wazifa regarding Qitmir as well. Mufti Naimuddin Murad Abadi rahmatullah alayhi says, whoever keeps the following words with him, after writing them on something, he will remain safe from the harm of a dog. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعِهِ بِالْوَسِيدِ. If a dog rushes, barking, or attacks you, recite the same Quranic words. Inshallah, it will not be able to harm you. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعِهِ بِالْوَسِيدِ. If a dog barks at you, attack you, read this dua. Allah Azza wa Jal will save you from that as well. And talking about the rank of the Ashabi Kahf's dog, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi said, the dog of Ashabi Kahf will enter paradise in the form of Bal'am bin Ba'ura, and he will enter hell in the form of that dog. The dog of Ashabi Kahf helped the beloved of Allah, and Allah bestowed paradise upon it after making it a human and person. Bal'am bin Ba'ura, who had enmity towards the beloved of Allah, was destroyed. Now this is another thing that, you know, we should understand. This dog of Ashabi Kahf, he became the friends of the Awliya Allah, the friends of the Ashabi Kahf. And Allah Azza wa Jal will grant this dog paradise in the form of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. Bal'am bin Ba'ura was at the time of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. And astaghfirullah, he made a baddua, or he wanted to make a baddua for Musa alayhi salam. But each time he was making this dua, he was mentioning his own name. And astaghfirullah, he says that his tongue came out. Bal'am bin Ba'ura will be thrown into the fire of hell in the form of that dog, and he will be punished in the fire of hell. So subhanallah, even being friend, have love for the Sahaba ikram, have love for the Awliya ikram, the Anbiya ikram, because their love, inshallah, will be for a success for us in this world, in our graves, and inshallah, azza wa jal, in the hereafter. Sadly, we're running out of time. I hope not only you enjoyed today's program, but alhamdulillah, we learned a lot of things as well. May Allah guide me and may Allah protect our iman for the sake of the Ashabi Kahf and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahi nabiyyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Allah.